your scripture. And we could probably spend several weeks doing an exposition on the contents of Romans chapter 8. Verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." I want to preach tonight on what it means to be in Christ Jesus. It's really a miracle when you have an understanding of what you are by nature. We're all sinners. We came into this world, we were not in Christ Jesus as far as we were concerned. Rather, we were only born with a nature that we inherited from our parents that is traced back all the way to Adam in the Garden of Eden, a fallen, sinful nature called the flesh. In fact, it says in verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." In our natural sinful state, we were outside of Christ. We had no ability whatsoever to please God, honor God, exalt God. But tonight, as we observe the Lord's Supper, we are remembering the one who changed all of that. By the power of His perfect life, His sacrificial blood and death on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, tonight, because of Jesus Christ, we can say that we are in Him. And on account of His work, there is now no condemnation. We were under the condemnation of the law. Christ paid the full sin debt, paid the full penalty, and He gave us His grace and His righteousness. Now, God looks at us, no condemnation. Amen. On your worst day, remember this verse. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That ought to thrill your soul. That ought to bless your heart. That there is no condemnation in our great Lord. And why? Verse 3, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." When He died on the cross, He was judged by Almighty God in our stead. And we need to remember that tonight as we break the unleavened bread that signifies His sinless body. And as we drink the wine, we are to remember that His blood was shed so that we may have life and forgiveness and righteousness. In Christ, it says in verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh." What a glorious statement. To no longer be governed by an old nature that hates God. How thankful I am tonight to be in Christ Jesus. And that phrase, really, it goes way back. Before the foundation of the world, when God chose us in Christ Jesus. But we had no knowledge of that. Until we were born of God, until we were saved by grace, until we read the Word of God. And tonight, as we observe the Lord's Supper, we can remember that we're no longer governed by our fleshly lust. We're in Christ Jesus. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, Christ not only died for us, He put His Spirit within us to empower us, to enlighten us, to cheer our hearts, to teach us truth. We are in Christ and indwelt by His Spirit. In fact, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ. Everyone that is in Christ Jesus has the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There's never going to be a time when you get more of the Holy Spirit. Not a second work of grace or a second blessing. You've got all of the Spirit. But the question is, how much of you does He have? How yielded are you to walk in the Spirit? This glorious transaction is so powerful that you got to remember where we were. We were in the miry pit of our own making, covered with sin and depravity and degradation and ungodliness and immorality. We drank iniquity like water. We had nothing good to offer God. He lifted us up. He set us upon the rock, Christ Jesus, put a song in our heart. And now, this transformation is so amazing, so glorious, we are taken from that pit that we once wallowed in, and now we're joint heirs with Christ and heirs of God. You can't get any richer. You can't have any greater treasure than to be yoked to Christ Jesus, to be a joint heir with Him, to be an heir of God and all His glory and all the excellency that is God Almighty. It says right there in verse 17 and 18, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In Christ Jesus, you and I have these benefits, these promises. Like I said, on your worst day, you're in Christ Jesus. The world may throw everything they got at you. Satan may throw a barrage of fiery darts against you. But you have the shield of faith. And you know that you're in Christ Jesus. You know that you're going to glory. That you are a joint heir with Christ. An heir of God. You are going to inherit the glories of God. Not for a day, not for a week, but through the eternal ages. As we observe the supper tonight, there is a measure of sorrow as we consider what the Savior had to endure for us to be saved. But oh, what joy to be a partaker of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in Him, to be distinguished from all the world that lies in the wicked one, to be brought out of darkness into His marvelous light, to be taken off the broad road that leads to destruction and put on the narrow way, to be called out, separated by the Spirit of God and added to a New Testament Baptist church where we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ and honor the great head of this body. Oh, what joy should fill our heart tonight as we remember what our Lord has done and is doing and will yet do, because we're in Christ Jesus. You see, none of this is by accident. You're not here by happenstance tonight. It's not just a series of random events that brought you to where you are. God is predestinated. He works all things after the counsel of His own will, including the salvation of your soul, the placement of your individual life in this body. Listen, there is a reason why you're part of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church. It's not by accident. God predestinated it. And He worked out every little detail that brought you here, even tonight. But look what it says. Verse 28, what a promise in Christ Jesus. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, and that means to have a special affection, He also did predestinate to predetermine, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Do you realize that because you're in Christ Jesus, the ultimate end of that phrase is that you are going to see Him as He is and you are going to be like Him. Amen. You are going to be conformed to His image in holiness and purity. Your fleshly nature is going to be put away. You'll never again have a thought of sin, a desire for sin, a feeling of guilt, or any disappointment with yourself or others, because you are predestinated to be conformed to the image of the fairest jewel of heaven, the most glorious, wonderful, gracious, loving person in all the world, Christ Jesus. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, that happened before the world began. Them He also called. That's when He drew you invincibly to Jesus Christ. And whom He called, them He also justified. When He called you, He gave the grace to believe the gospel. And you've been justified. You've been declared not guilty. You've been acquitted, all on account of the work of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Again, everything we're talking about goes back to Him in Christ Jesus. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. That is the golden chain of redemption, and in the mind of God, it's already accomplished. It's all in the past tense. In Christ Jesus, the devil, our sin, the law, none of it can charge us with anything. It says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. We've been acquitted. We're represented by the Lord Jesus. 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for me, or for us. How about that? He died for us. He rose for us. He lives for us. He intercedes for us. This is all what we have in Christ Jesus. It's why there's no condemnation. It's all on account of Jesus. And we're loved by Christ with an inseparable love. You know, it is a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing to feel loved, isn't it? The love of your wife, your husband, your children, friends, family, church members. It's a blessing to know that you're loved. And I'm blessed by that, and we're just sinners. Every one of us here are broken. We got issues. But we're forgiven. And it's a wonderful thing to have a mutual love among the brethren. How much more glorious is it to have someone love you like Jesus, who is completely selfless, who was willing to die in your place, to suffer an immeasurable spiritual pain on the cross of Calvary. Physical, yes, but far greater soul suffering when he had to offer himself as a perfect sacrifice to the Father. To be loved by Christ is the most wonderful truth that we can lay hold of. And to be represented by him. And it says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he literally gives you every feasible thing that you could possibly think of that could separate you, that men could devise to separate someone from. He goes through the entire litany. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? By the way, Paul knew whereof he wrote. He experienced nearly all of that. And none of it separated him from Christ. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In Christ Jesus, we're more than conquerors. I'm not a victim of this world. You know, you listen to the world today and what they're trying to make everybody feel like a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. I have victory in Jesus. He loved me. He washed me in his own blood. I've been justified, declared not guilty. I'm on my way to glory. The Spirit's in me. His word is true. I have all the promises of God. I am more than a conqueror. Because of his grace, and because I'm in Christ Jesus. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, now notice, which is in Christ Jesus. Jesus, our Lord. As many have said, this chapter started with no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It ends with no separation from God to those that are in Christ Jesus. We celebrate Him tonight. We remember what he did on dark Calvary. How his blood was shed. How his love was displayed. And oh, what a glorious change he has wrought in our hearts. What a blessing it is to be in Christ Jesus.